The King of Christmas Albums is heading back our way. Grammy Award-winning Michael Bublé on the road and will be here next month as part of the Higher Tour. Higher is the latest album, of course, from Canada this morning. Michael Bublé, good morning.
I'm really good. Thank you for asking. Happy to be here. I want to wish you a very happy morning. And nothing. I'm just enjoying a break before I get back to work.
How long are your breaks? And creatively speaking, do you need to get fit to get, not physically, but mentally in shape to get back on the road and do the business?
It's a great question. I think what I do is I'm friends with so many athletes in different sports. And I think the reason is what we do is very similar. I think that mental health is a massive part. When I say that, you really have to have the right disposition. And listen, there are times when going on the road and standing in front of thousands and thousands of people being judged isn't always easy. And you have to put yourself in a position where, you trick your mind into making sure that you keep it positive and that you keep that level of confidence without ever passing the line into narcissism and making decisions based on ego. And
yeah.
I'm lucky, man, because I got a great family, got great parents and sisters and great wife and kids. And so part where, you want to be kept grounded is done for me in a great way. But that other part where you need to show up and, leave your comfort zone many times. And, I play 44, 45 countries all over the world. Many times English isn't the first language. And so I have to continually make myself aware of how lucky I am, how grateful. That's a big part of it,
Yeah.
Just reminding myself, gentle reminders. And then keeping myself physically active is important too, because it's a lot, man. It's a lot.
It is. Do you ever worry it'll all go away? Or have you had enough success to think it's been too good a ride anyway? If it all disappears tomorrow, that's cool.
I think we all do. I can't speak for you, but I bet you do. Every once in a while, you probably think, well, they're going to find out. They're going to find out that this is all a facade. Everyone does it. If you didn't, I would think you were something was wrong with you. But at the same time, I think you get to a point, and again, I'm probably going to try to speak for you, even though I shouldn't. I think we get to a point in our lives and our careers where we say, you know what? I've put in 20 some odd years. I've earned goodwill. I have earned respect. I've made sure that whatever brand I'm creating is known as a brand that has value, that has earned sort of respect and trust. And at that point, you have to start really looking at yourself in the mirror and asking yourself what it is that makes you happy or what your idea of success is. And I can probably tell you that if you asked me the same question 5 years ago, I would have given you the right answer, but it wouldn't have been true. I would have wanted to say these things, but
yeah,
I would have been thinking exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And at this point, I've been through a lot in my life, and good and bad. And, all of this is the icing on a pretty incredible cake. And I think that no matter what happens, I think I've earned, I've earned that sort of, I think, confidence to know that I know what I'm doing. And the most important things are solid things like my family, yeah, and my relationship, my faith, all those things. And then the career is really just a lot of fun,
yeah,
to be honest.
Talk about your faith. How big a deal is faith in your life, and how does it propel you forward both professionally and personally?
I think that it's probably pretty healthy for me to know that it's not just chaos, to know that there are, that your decisions matter. That when I say faith, I have my own very personal sense of faith, and I would never want to share that because that's not my job. I'm a singer, man. I'm an entertainer. But for me, I think it's really wonderful to instill those kind of things in your kids, to have systems where karma, where you believe that, when you do good things or when you treat people with kindness and goodness and courtesy, that those things somehow, there's a system of justice And there's you know, there's a scale of justice, and for me, it's just it's a part of survival, and so when I talk about having that, or I talk to friends that don't have it, the reason I want them to have it isn't because I think they should think the way I do. It's because I hope that they would feel the way that I do.
Nicely put. Listen, I read a, Michael, very interesting article about you. I think it was in The Guardian in Britain when you were there.
I didn't like that article.
Did you not?
No, I didn't like her, and I didn't like how I, listen, I didn't like, listen, I didn't like that this woman would sit with me for 20 minutes and try to psychoanalyze me. And honestly, I didn't, it's not, I don't want to say I didn't like her. I just, all that stuff is such bull. You know, you sit for 20 minutes and then this person gets a sense of you, or their editor has a sense of how, what they're going to write, what the angle is. And it's like, you walk out, you try to be nice, and you go, listen, you,
yeah.
It wasn't like it was a negative thing, but it was like, you have no idea.
It's exactly why I'm asking the question, because I thought exactly the same thing, because in conclusion, because most people won't have read it, but she concluded that you're a cheese ball, you're a lovable, likable guy, but you might be real, but then again, you might not be, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. That's why I ask you about it, because, and at first,
I read it, and when I did, I felt either the editor or her was a real cynical person.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I felt a lot less bad for me than I did for them, if you want the truth.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I'm just like anyone else out there, anyone listening, like your producer, like the guy that does, or the girl that does the weather on your show. I am a complicated, sophisticated human being. And there's parts of me that are wonderful and sweet, and I'm a goofball, but I'm also tough as nails. And if you think that I got to this position of being one of the greatest in the world at what I do by being that goofball that is some, nah, man, listen. And if she hung with me for a day or two, or she understood who I was in real life, I think that's a, but at some point, man, you just can't change those things. So you just read it and you let it go. And man, it's funny. I don't love doing print for that reason. Every time they have me show up and do print, I go, why am I doing this? Yeah. This doesn't help me. Nobody reads this shit anymore. And nobody cares. Like, what are they?
True.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's...
It's so true.
I never...
I'm not in your league, obviously, but I, in my own wee world, I've not done print for years for exactly the same thing. And what I can... And the reason for it is you can't trust it. And it's not in your control. And all the, you know, and it's just you and I talking here, and you can say what you want, and I'll say what I want, and people will get that and understand it and take it for what it is. In print, it's like it's gone, and you.
No, there's no tone. Yeah. You cannot read context in tone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. I had a long talk with Ed Sheeran. I just did a TV show with him, and this is exactly what we were talking about. And he said, like, oh, Mike, sometimes I got to do it. But he's like, listen, there's times when I show up and they already know what they want to say.
Yeah.
Their angle is there. And everything I say will just go, you know, into feeding that angle. So
now the show itself, I'm led to believe, is bigger and better than ever. And you've come to a realization that that's part of what sells you. So the days of you being on a stage by yourself are gone. Is that fair? It's an entertainment spectacle.
I think it's a spectacle. Absolutely. I think that, you know what I think, man, more than anything, I think that people tune into your show because you're a destination. They trust you. They want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear what your guests have to say. And there's a real comfort level. And that is what I do. People can come. They can come on a date. They can bring their kids. And I think that's what they're there for. They know it's safe. They know that whatever they spend, they're going to get value. And that, for me, nobody ever shows up to somebody's show and thinks, I hope this guy sucks. They always want you to be good. And so when you're good, and they can sit back and go, oh, this guy is really comfy up there. That's what it's all about. And I'm 47 years old. I've done this for 25 years, 30 years. Listen, this is my happy place, man. I'm so damn good at this. And the truth is, after this tour is over, I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, so, don't give me the big I'm retiring line.
No, retiring, schmagiring. What I'm saying is, I don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't. I'm a dad. That's my number one thing. And so, you know, I say this to people all the time. They go, oh, I didn't see you. And I go, listen, don't be that schmuck. Don't be that schmuck. You know how many times I did great shows and people say like, oh, you know, I was there. And it's like, yeah, you were there. You weren't there. I know you weren't there.
Listen, I know you got to go. It's lovely to catch up and talk with you. Go well, and we'll see you in New Zealand.
Thanks for your time, Mike. Thank you very much. We'll continue to not do print.
Exactly. Good to see you, Michael Bublé. He's at Spark Arena in Auckland on June 25.